curt nod, Scheib answered. We've activated all our ABM units in Fort Greely in Alaska and at Vandenberg Air Force Base. The Navy has alerted all four of its Aegis battle groups in the Western Pacific. Two of them are steaming at full speed for the Sea of Japan. The other two are deploying between Japan and Hawaii. There's only two missiles to worry about, one of the civilians on the other side of the table said, pointing to the satellite image of the North Korean launch site. Two that we know about, Scheib replied. How many do the Chinese have? An army officer asked. And the Russians. They both have missile-launching submarines, too. Zuri Coggins said, The president has decided that our moves will be strictly defensive. Poking at the air with one finger to emphasize her words, she added, We will not do anything that could provoke a Chinese response, or a Russian one. But they've both gone on alert, haven't they? Asked the admiral, sitting across the table from her. Not yet, Coggins replied. Although the State Department was tasked with informing them that our own nuclear retaliatory forces are being placed on full alert. State Department, the admiral muttered distastefully. General Higgins looked toward one of the civilians sitting down the table from Coggins. Are our snooper satellites still working? They are, said the civilian. Elint birds have picked up coded messages sent along landlines in China and Russia. Glancing at Coggins, he continued, They are in the process of putting their missile forces on full alert. Higgins nodded morosely, as if he had expected nothing less. Pakistan and India, too, the civilian added. Sweet Jesus, said the admiral. That's all we need, those two pulling the trigger. What about the Iranians? Higgins asked. They've only got a half dozen missiles. Guess where they'll fire them? Asked Higgins's aide, who was Jewish. What if the Chinese or the Russians take advantage of this situation to attack us? Higgins snapped. Coggins replied firmly, That will trigger a full-scale retaliation by our missile forces, and both the Chinese and Russians know it. What's more, they know that our systems are on full alert. We could respond with a devastating nuclear counterstrike at a moment's notice. Even if the president is dead? Jamil asked. His voice was soft, tentative, as if he'd surprised himself by speaking up. Everyone turned to him. Her dark eyes narrowing, Coggins demanded, What do you mean by that? Suddenly the focus of everyone around the table, Jamil blinked his brown eyes nervously and pawed at his unruly hair. At last he said, Well, the president is scheduled to give a speech in San Francisco tonight. General Scheib pointed to the wall screen with one hand as he pecked with a single finger at his laptop's keyboard. A schematic drawing of a ballistic missile appeared on the screen, with a list of performance specifications alongside it. Those two missiles are Taipo Dong 2s, Scheib said. They don't have the range to reach San Francisco, or the reliability. The last time they fired one, it splashed into the Pacific several hundred miles short of Hawaii. Jamil had to turn in his chair to see the drawing. According to our information, he said, the Taipo Dong 2 has a range of 10,000 kilometers. That's Pyongyang propaganda. In the real world, the Taipo Dong 2 doesn't have the range to reach San Francisco. I admit that San Francisco is at the extreme fringe of the missile's capability. Jamil's tone was conciliatory, yet he was clearly contradicting the general. Scheib glared at the civilian analyst. Even so, the missile doesn't have the accuracy to hit San Francisco, not at that range. Jamil nodded slightly, but countered, Yet they launched a bird into geosynchronous orbit.